Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the fourth edition of the Time to Lead Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of black people leaving the state slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours if you choose to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for black people in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. Those of you who have tuned into our show in the past, you know that we represent the view of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in terms of separation. But what makes our show unique is that we are actually engaging in conversation and encouraging planning for those who are listening to the show and the followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to start putting things in place for actual separation. Whether that separation is physically moving from your current home to another with others to form communities, whether that separation takes the form of staying in your city but coming together to form an economic reality to where you can actually move to close physical proximity in that city, or it may be that you are deciding to purchase some land and start a community from anew. Whatever the case is, we are trying to encourage you to start discussing it and planning for it right now. History favors those who are prepared, but those who are not prepared, they suffer to the whims of those who are in power. So now is a good time to start making plans for your separation. And this is the place where if you don't know where to start, you have questions, or you're just a little nervous, this is the place to discuss and ask questions. One of the aspects of separation is that we are not going to live in an unsustainable fashion like our slave masters have. They pull and rape the land, but they don't put back. As we form communities and ultimately a new world, we're going to be making a new model for sustainability in our communities. That being said, we have a special show for tonight where we have representatives from our community, our task force. Our task force called the Self-Sufficient Living Community Task Force is the host for tonight's show. It is my honor to introduce two of the sisters in the task force, Sister Sharon Muhammad and Sister Mary X. Sisters, are you on the show now?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings be upon you. Thank you for tuning in to our edition of the Time to Leave broadcast. I am your host, Sister Mary X of the Self-Sufficient Living Community Task Force of the Time to Leave movement. I am accompanied this evening with my co-host, Sister Sharon Muhammad, and our special guest, Do For Selfer, Mr. John Bradley of JBY LLC. Sister Sharon Muhammad, I would like to introduce you.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mary, and our listening audience. I'm Sister Sharon Muhammad, and I am so delighted to be with you and be a participant in this wonderful task force that we are just getting up and running with it.
Yes, ma'am. Will, can you give our listeners the definition of and our mission and our task force, Sister Sharon?
Yes, ma'am. The Self-Sufficient Living Task Force is a task force that we, Black people, just want to do for self. We want to build a community that covers our own basic needs. I mean, we need food, we need water, we need clothing, we need shelter. And it is time for us to do for ourselves. This task force will give us the opportunity to two things. If we are able to move to a community, you know, it would be nice to know that I'm in a community where I feel secure. You know, I have a community where I can do business with my own people. So if you choose to move to a community that is sustainable, then you can, you know, we can build like that. Or if we're not ready to do that, we can stay in our own communities, build our own communities, and make our community a safe and decent place for our children and us to live. So we're working hard to prepare ways in which we can move efficiently.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to give some more information about what self-sufficiency and self-sustainability looks like. So currently we are all living in boxes, either as a box of a house or a box of an apartment, where we are connected to municipal water, his lights, his gas, and so, and may have a mortgage or paying somebody some rent somewhere. And that is not a self-sustainable life. And for the most part, most of us do not have a garden where we're growing our own vegetables or have control over even what we purchase as far as food. So self-sustainability and self-sufficiency turns that on its head. And we are looking at creating our own water catchment systems, our own, we control our water, we control our electricity. If Satan wishes to, he can just flip a switch and black out the whole entire black part of a city. And that's throughout America. And so what do we do then if he has and he has control over every element of our life? So that is what we're looking at. We're looking at living off the grid and being in total control of our communities. So with that being said, this segment of our show is called 10 Million Reasons to Separate. And so this is something that we're going to be doing at the beginning of each of our shows. It's a fun little thing, and it also allows us to see, why we should separate. So reason number 24,893, because we got 10 million of these, right? So this is simply Stephon Clark. That's it. Stephon Clark, who was murdered by our open enemy, of course, shot in the back. And this is an ongoing situation. And the fact that we are murdering each other at a ridiculous rate. So we don't want to move around. We want to move from our open enemy, and that is whoever our open enemy is. That is people with, white-minded Negroes, coons, black self-hating people, and our open enemy. So, Sister Sharon, what reason do you have today?
Yes, ma'am. Reason.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I have a reason for separating.
Yes, ma'am.
Our community is simply in our food supply, especially in our black communities, is poisoned, and it's mm-hmm. deliberate poisoning of our food mm-hmm. system by our open enemy. We know this. Nothing much is in its natural state. So we want to grow our own food. We want to have land to grow our own food. So just by way of the big corporations, they're not looking to keep us healthy and living. So, and we know food helps us to live. So we really need to look at what we put in our mouth, because much of it is poisoning.
Yes, ma'am. A part of our separation that I think that we don't really look at is that we need to know each other on a more intimate level. Because we're talking about separation, but do we really know each other? And do we really know each other in a way that we can say, this is my sister, this is my brother, and I love that sister and I love that brother, because you actually know them. You know this person has a good heart. You know this person is struggling in this way. You know that this person is flawed in this way. So then when you see them act in a certain way, you just say, oh, Sister Sharon, I know that she has this level of trauma, or she's gone through this. So when she is acting a certain way, I understand that. And you can only understand people when you have a real relationship with them. So this is what we do on our task force. The first time we have somebody come into our task force, we talk to each other and we reveal to each other who we really are, our ups, our downs, our childhood experiences, our adult experiences, and we work together so that we have a good understanding and a healthy respect for each other. So I would like to start by telling you, the audience, a little bit about myself. I currently live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I am here because I got married about 2 years ago. I have 3 children whom I love and adore, and I'm originally from the planet Earth, of course, but my little corner of the planet Earth is the Bronx, New York. So I give that as a disclaimer because I go really hard on our open enemy, and sometimes I may say something that might not be very MGT-ish, but I will blame it on the Bronx. And I know that's probably not right, but that's what I do. And I love and adore the black man. I allow no one nowhere on this planet where I'm walking to say anything about the black man, and definitely not about the FOI. So, and point number 4 of what the Muslims want, and point number 12 of what the Muslims believe, I eat, drink, and live and die on those points. Of course, all of the points are very, very important. But those points speak to my soul and speak to my spirit, and that's why I think Allah, I think that Allah made me. So that's just a little bit about me, and how about you, Sister Sharon? And then we're going to bring our special guest on.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Mary. And I have to say, it is a great pleasure to have met you.
You're so silly.
I am a mother of 3 daughters. I am a grandmother of 7. I am a great-grandmother of 3. Oh, my goodness. That's my little world there. Our children are our future. I mean, it is my responsibility. It is our responsibility as mothers and fathers, and responsibility to teach our children. And one thing that I'm hard on is teaching my children to do for self. I mean, no longer thinking about, you know, a handout or, those things will come, but we must first put our own hands together, our own mind together, and think of a way to sustain our own self. So, I call it my village. You know, I am in a teaching mode for my children. I often ask them, what are your vision? You know, what's your vision for the next year, for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years? And I help them to really paint that picture, to look at self and then look outwardly at the world that they are a part of. That's about
praise
it for me. Yes,
praise
ma'am.
So now we want to go and we want to introduce our super special guest. His name is Mr. John Bradley, and I had the pleasure of just, you know, going about the work of separation where a brother connected me to this brother and his wife, and they're a most beautiful family, and I'm so excited and so elated that Allah would connect our minds and our hearts together. So Mr. John Bradley of JBY LLC, this brother is a do-for-selfer, and I'm not going to read his bio because I just want to get into who he is. I want him to tell us who he is and what he's done and what he's doing in regards to doing for self. So please welcome Mr. John Bradley.
Hello, everyone. My name is John Bradley. And to just kind of start off, as the Sister Mary was saying, is to give you some insight on who I am. I'm from originally Tuskegee, Alabama. I grew up there. My grandparents, my parents are all from Tuskegee. My grandparents knew Booker T. Washington and George Washington. So that's basically where I have my understanding from. In Tuskegee, we always pretty much was taught to do for self. And so that's been a way of life for me. I've driven truck for 30 years, and I retired from that. I build shipping container homes out of shipping containers. We also have solar energy. I have an 85-foot greenhouse, and we do aquaponics. And in the process of building three other houses for close friends, and we started a community. So that's kind of in line with what you all was talking about, and that's how I ended up meeting Sister Mary.
Praise be to Allah. Okay, Mr. Bradley, thank you so much. We just want to ask some questions, and then we're going to open up the line for people that may have some questions for you. So you told us a little bit about your background, and that you were a truck driver for 30 years. But what is your background as far as building structures?
I've been in building for just the same amount of time. I built my own house in Tuskegee, Alabama. Actually, I renovated Tuskegee Airmen Army Barracks, and
wow.
I turned that into a triplex apartment unit.
Wow.
That was back in 1980, I believe. So
wow.
I've been building for myself all my life. Pretty much.
Yes, sir. And how did you come about that? Like, did you go to school, or was that something that you just learned through work, or did you do an apprenticeship, or?
Most of my friends were contractors and builders.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up working with all of my friends and pretty much self-taught.
Wow.
Through them, you know, they taught me general contracting, sheetrock, plumbing, electrical, pretty much, you know, just friends teaching friends. That's how I learned.
Wow, that's wonderful. What is a self-sustaining living lifestyle to you? What does that mean to you?
That's a good question. For me, is because I'm from Tuskegee, and Booker T really focused on teaching the citizens of Tuskegee self-reliance. Everyone in Tuskegee when I was a child had to have a garden. They had to have fruit trees. So as a child, I could walk to neighbor and eat fruit all day and never get hungry. So I grew up in that environment. And it was great. And I would like to try to do something like that again because we've drifted away from community and definitely sustainable communities. So that's
yes.
what I see. And 80%, I'd say 70% of what I consume, I would like to produce for myself. Aquaponics is a system where you raise fish, and you raise vegetables with fish water. It's no soil, and it's very self-sufficient. It's a closed-loop system. So the fish is the fertilizer, so you can sustain that. Your fish produce more fish. As they produce more fish, they produce more fertilizer. The fertilizer sustains the plant, cleans the water for the fish, and it's a closed-loop system. So that's what I see sustainability as being, a system that runs on itself, feeds itself.
Yes, sir. You and your family were living the lifestyle that many people strive for. You had a huge home in a great neighborhood. And can you tell me what changed for you? Why would you sell your home and you know, can you tell me a little bit about that experience? Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Okay, I was going on in life like most of us, just, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck and quite comfortable and happy doing it. And one day, as the real estate market got kind of bad, and I was paying way too much for the house, I decided to try to negotiate my mortgage. Well, that wasn't happening, and so I got upset. And I said, you know what? I know too much to be used and abused like this. So what I did was I had 11 acres, moved out of that house. I built me another house right next door to it and prepared to sell that one. And I paid for the house that I built cash. So I'd never be in debt again.
Yes, sir. So you have no debt. The land that you're on, you own, and the house that you live in, you own.
That's correct.
Wow, that's where we need to be, and that's where we need to go. How did you meet Brother Ralph Muhammad, and who is Ralph Muhammad?
Brother Ralph was a good friend of mine. In the process of trying to set up solar energy, I was talking to some friends, and they introduced me to Ralph. And we just kind of really hit it off. He helped me to purchase my solar panels. I started selling, he sells solar generators, so I helped him sell solar generators for a while. And he came and helped me wire my house up, and so we began to kind of just network with each other, and we've been doing it ever since.
Praise be to Allah. Can you explain to us what off-grid living is?
Oh, good question. Off-grid living is when you have your own, I would say, power source. So once I finish, matter of fact, we're finishing up putting in my solar system today. But as soon as I finish that, I can actually cut my wires from Georgia Power and produce my own electricity. And it's enough to run my entire house, my refrigerator, air conditioner, lights, TV, that kind of thing. So being off-grid for me is having the ability to, if they turn the lights off, it won't affect me. I was listening to the news in, Puerto Rico. One of the people there had solar energy. When everybody on the island had no electricity, he was the only one that still had electricity, and people was lined up charging up their cell phones at his house. So that's an ability. So whatever the system does doesn't affect you.
Wow. A black man is in fact and indeed God. That's all I have to say about that. Now, some people think that off-grid living, for those that are somewhat familiar with it, they may think that off-grid living, you have to live rough and without amenities. Your house is absolutely beautiful. And can you tell us a little bit about the amenities that you have in your home?
Oh, I have everything in this house that I had in the previous house that I had. I have a sauna, a built-in sauna. I have a gym, washer, dryer. I have an office, computer room, two bathrooms, three bedrooms, and a sitting room off the bedroom. So basically everything I had in my other house, I have in this one.
and you just built this one with friends and mostly black labor. Is that correct?
That is.
Great.
I would say
a lot. That is
maybe
amazing.
About, yeah.
Mhm. So how much of your labor force that did your house was black or original people for the most part?
I have a partner that's been my partner for 40 years. We worked together since the beginning. He's a carpenter by trade, and so he and I basically did a majority of the work on it, and then in areas where I wasn't as good as I'd like to be, I hired other people to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So framing was one of them. I had to get a framing crew in to put on the roof, I have a metal roof. The metal roof, floor rafters, that kind of thing. So past that, as far as interior, everything on the inside I did, floor, tile, cabinets, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir. Sister Sharon, do you have any questions for Mr.
Yes,
Brown?
Yes, I do. Yes, I would love to ask a couple of questions, sir. Has there been any other building after your home was built?
I'm in the process of building two other homes now. A gentleman from Houston, Texas, was interested in a container home. I'm building a home for him. He has, I think, an acre of land. Also, a gentleman out of Philadelphia purchased some land in South Georgia, and I'm helping him build a container home as well.
That is beautiful. Was all of your family members involved in the aspect of building the home and, you know, adding to their amenities? Were they all involved?
Yeah, my son pretty much, he wanted what he wanted in his room. So, you know, we got the colors and the bed. He has a Murphy bed. You can let the bed up and it gives you more space in your room. It was things that he wanted for his room. My wife definitely was involved quite a bit. She kind of kept me busy, I tell you.
Yes, that is wonderful. And one last question would be, what, having gone through this, and it seems like your ideas and your work is going to go on, what are your thoughts of being a part in building a new world? Or would you consider this a new way and a new world that we are envisioning?
I think so. First of all, like I said, we've started a small community here on 11 acres, and it's all about the mindset. You have to surround yourself with people who are like minds. If you don't start on the same foundation, it will be difficult to build from people coming from different understandings. So you have to first understand what it is that you're looking for. When you say sustainable living, that might mean one thing to one person and something totally different to someone else. So I recommend anyone who lived in this community start off by reading a book by Booker T. Washington, Working with the Hands. And so once you've read that book, then we basically start off on the same foundation or the same principle of understanding, and we go from there.
Beautiful, sir. Well, I really thank you for taking the time out to give us this valuable information, and we definitely pray to God for your success, your family's success, and it sounds like we will be working with you in the very near future. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. We're going to open up the line in a little while for questions. And I just wanted to talk about your upcoming workshop. And so can you tell us a little bit about that and how we would contact you and stuff like that?
We were trying to do a workshop on the 27th and 28th, I believe.
It's the 28th and the 29th.
28th and 29th. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
We were building a container cabin for one of the gentlemen that lives in the community here. And so we was approached to do a workshop to get more people familiar with building homes out of shipping containers. So we were going to try to give as much information as we can in the time that we had, so that I can at least get people familiar and comfortable with what it takes to build your own home. This summer, I'm going to teach my son how to build a container house as well. So these are the type of things that we were going to try to do as far as dealing with municipalities, what different issues you might have with building commissioners, whether you build in a city limit or you build in county. We want to try to touch on all of those things.
Yes, sir. So that is happening April 28th to 29th in Commerce, Georgia. And if you and do you have any more space? Because I know that we're going five deep. So do you have more space? And how many more spaces do you have?
I think we have maybe about 8 more slots. I have to check with my wife on that. She's pretty much dealing with the organization part.
Yes, sir.
But I'm thinking maybe about 8 more.
And how would we reach out to you?
We have a website that's going to be jby454@gmail.com.
Can you say that again, Mr. Bradley, for our audience?
That's J is in John, B is in boy, Y as in yellow, the number 454@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. And that is, the workshop is $200. And for that, I just want to go over the registration. You will be dealing with municipalities, inspectors, the foundation and tools, choosing building materials, buying shipping containers. Brother Ralph will be doing a part on solar panels. We will have an architect. So, of course, we know the architect is also black. Is it a female or Tracy Taylor?
Tracy.
She's an architect, and she's the one that actually helped you with your plan. We're going to have a tour of your home and tour of the job site. Then on Sunday, we will be at the job site and actually working. And we will be receiving a syllabus. Well, I think more than a syllabus. You're going to take us from the beginning to the end of a build. So what we're going to be building is a 20-foot cabin, correct? A 20-foot shipping container cabin.
Right.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bradley, is that correct? I'm sorry.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. Great. Fabulous. So let's open up the lines. to see if we have any questions for you, Brother Carlton.
This is Brother Carlton.
Yes, sir. Can you open up the lines to see if we have any questions for him?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Dr. Ridgely, did you want to ask a question or make a comment at this time?
Yes, I'm like, the name of the book and how do I get that book? The brother said it was a book by Booker T. Washington. What was the name of it?
It was Working with Hands by Booker T. Washington. And this book was written in 1904. And I think you can get the original copy. It's a reprint from Amazon.
Okay. Can you tell me just a little bit about the book?
Basically, the things and the struggles that we have today in society, the problem has already been solved. Booker T. talked about, excuse me? Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, Booker T. talked about working with the hands. He talked about different types of education. He talked about abstract knowledge and applied knowledge. Today we deal with mostly abstract knowledge. Very seldom do we see people, or our people, deal with applied knowledge. And I think that's the misconception that we have in the world, in our society today. And he had the same problems in 1904 because they was coming from slavery, and they said, well, we worked hard already. We don't want to get in the field and work. And he said that it wasn't a matter of working, it's being worked. And that's where we got confused. People don't want to work no more. And I believe in work, and I'm where I am because of work.
Thank you very much, sir.
Now, did I answer your question?
Yes, sir. Very well. I know about Booker T. Washington and the Tuskegee and all that. I just wanted you to say it, because folks are sleeping on that.
Yeah, like I said, my grandmother knew him, and so we basically lived that way when I was a child growing up, and it changed my life.
So basically everybody around y'all has some type of skill, right?
Oh yeah, that's how I learned how to do what I did. I didn't go to school. I mean, all of my friends had some type of skill. I have friends that are carpenters, friends that are electricians, friends that are plumbers, friends that are framers, and so I just go to work with my friends on different job sites for, you know, growing up. And so doing that, I learned the skills.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
My wife will be up there at 28th and 29th, Sister Ann.
Yes,
okay.
The workshop is the 28th and 29th.
That's right. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sister Mary, should I go to the next caller?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay, so this is Brother Mikael from Americus, Georgia. Brother Mikael?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, in listening to the brother, that's when he said that he was from Tuskegee, it's coincident, I'm on 65, and I just saw a sign said exit to Tuskegee. I'm headed to New Orleans. I'm a contractor. And,
oh, wow.
I build motels and apartment complexes, and I'm headed back to New Orleans as we speak. But one of the things in listening to this show the last couple of weeks and Dr. Abel's show is, I think something that needs to be stated that I'm not hearing, and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Carlton can bear witness to this, because if I'm not mistaken, Brother Carlton, you're from an urban area out of California. And Doc, before you move down to the farm, by the way, I live about 20 minutes from the farm, Muhammad Farm. But those of us who are contemplating on moving down south in rural areas, what needs to be understood is that it's somewhat of a cultural shock when you're trying to live as a community, because a lot of things are not readily available to you as they are in the cities. And so you'll find yourself, just like the children of Israel, saying, I think it would be better if we go back to Pharaoh. Yeah. And so one of the things that needs to be stated clearly on these shows is that you have to have some type of hands-on skills to produce for yourself, because it's not available, especially in the rural communities. Of course, me being a contractor, I've always used my hands to build and provide a job for myself. You got to develop some type of skills. I don't care if it's sewing, cooking, do something for self, because when you go to looking for certain things that you normally find in the cities, you're not going to find it unless you go drive sometimes an hour to some of the urban markets like Macon and Columbus and Atlanta. And even Albany, which is a metropolitan area, does not have some of the things that you might be looking for. So those things need to be stated in these talk shows when thinking about moving down south to a rural area. And to add, my wife and I, we're in talks now. We're as far as buying a 25 acres of land to start our own community. We've already went into talks with the young lady that's going to allow us to have it. We were about 3 weeks too late in getting with her. She said she had just leased it out to a hunting club, and they wanted to lease it out for another year, but the lease would be over in December. So in December, she's already guaranteed everything. I've known her all my life, and she's tired of paying the taxes on it. The land was left to her, but she's just tired of paying taxes on it. She's upstate. So we're looking to purchase that land, start our community. I'm a contractor, like I said. I'm going to build houses. And if you go on my my business Facebook page, if you're on Facebook, Ebrie Builders, you can stay in contact with me on how the process is going to take place when we start building. I'm not asking anybody for any donations. We're going to do this out of our own pocket. My wife and I, we've always done out of our own pocket. She has her own business. She sells in order for us to live as a community. We gotta sustain ourselves with our hands. We gotta sustain it. We can't depend on them. We gotta do it with our own hands. So I just wanted to make that clear, and thank you for having me on. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. Wait, don't go. Can you give us your Facebook page again, brother?
Yes, it's Ebrie Builders. Ibri Builders.
Thank
As a matter
you
of fact, Brother
so
Carlton
much.
Has worked with me on a project before also.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, shall I go on to the next caller, Sister Mary?
Yes, keep on going, Brother Carlton.
Yes, ma'am. Next in our queue is Sister Majida Muhammad from Brownwood. Sister Majida?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Great show. Great show. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I want to just say quickly, Brother Mikael just spoke and made a very good point about the culture shock of coming to a rural community from an urban community. And I wanted to just let him and those listening know, in our word book, It Is Time to Leave, we actually go over some of that and having skills and some ways you can maintain and generate income, because jobs, as he said, are not as readily available. So if you have an opportunity to get the workbook, it goes over that information there for you. But I wanted to just say I am thoroughly enjoying the conversation and what you all are doing. And thank you, Sister Mary and Sister Sharon and your guest, Mr. Bradley. As I'm listening, you all are bearing witness that we have the ability to provide our own basic needs. And a lot of times I think we just don't even think about that. How am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? And Mr. Bradley, you are just dispelling the myth that we're not able to produce our own homes and maintain our own food supply And you said you have everything in your home that you built with your family members that you built with your hands. So I think our young people especially need to grow up knowing that these skills are prevalent in our communities and that you're offering training and that our children have the opportunity to be taught. You talked about the way you grew up and how everybody had skills. I remember those times, and we have to get back to that. And I believe in building our own communities. We'll get back to that kind of lifestyle where, as you said, you went to your friend's house that knew how to do such and such framing or whatever, or you went to another friend's house, and you all, you know, learned to do the skills and appreciate the skills that each of us had. And this is how, like the minister said, we have to get back to the way we were that was good. We really do. So I really thank you, Mr. Bradley, for sharing. And I'm looking forward to the information that I know Sister Mary and Sister Sharon will bring back and Sister Ann will bring back from that workshop. And I'm just thank you. I just want to thank you for helping us to see that we have the ability to do what we need to do to sustain ourselves. Thank you.
You're welcome. No problem.
All right. Our next caller is Sister Ann from Muhammad Farms.
Thank you so much, Brother Carlton. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mary, Sister Sharon,
and Mr. Bradley.
Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Also enjoying the show very, very much and very excited now about the workshop. I can't wait to be there. But what I'm listening to, Mr. Bradley, is Mr. Bradley is one of those people who just do it, you know, just get it done. And my husband has a country saying, get her done. Mr. Bradley exhibits that in what he's doing, and I'm extremely excited about the potential of what I can learn from he and his wife when we come to the workshop. Speaking, Sister Mary and Sister Sharon, when you were on first talking about your 10 million reasons to separate, I had another one. I was on Facebook, and I went to this message, and it was about, and this just happened a few days ago, this white lesbian couple had adopted several children. And in the picture that was posted on Facebook, 4 or 5 of those children were black. And one of the little boys, something happened not long ago in a community, and the little boy, they put this picture on Facebook of this little black boy just hugging this police officer and crying. Tears were running down his eyes. That was one of the children.
Mm-hmm.
When they showed that to me on Facebook, I said, now, what if he was crying for help? Because these two women recently ran their car off a cliff, killed themselves and all of the children. And they had a pending child protective case going on. And I would venture to say those children were being abused.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
That's why they killed themselves and all the children, so thinking nothing would come out. Now, what I responded to the post by saying, this is another reason for our separating in communities of our own, where we are acting as a village and we'll take care of our own. We wouldn't have all of this debauchery and all of this alternative lifestyle messing up our children's lives in this manner. So that was first and foremost on my mind when you all were talking about the 10 million reasons to separate, was when I read that information. But again, I am so excited about the workshop and looking forward to meeting you and your family, Mr. Bradley. I know it's going to be an outstanding and very educational and informative weekend. And I just applaud you on what you're doing. You're walking the walk that we are talking right now. And you can be an example to us on how to go out and set up these communities and come away with not a lot of debt. And that's the most beautiful part of this, is that you're doing it, and you don't, the bank don't own your home. So
we are setting
the example that we need to follow. And that's my comment. Thank you so very much for the show. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
You're quite welcome.
Well, Sister Mary and Sister Sharon, right at this time, we don't have any new callers in the queue. Well, I take that back. Here's one right here. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 9882. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Sister Katina Muhammad. I'm calling from St. Louis. Awesome. Welcome, family.
Well, yeah,
I just wanted to just kind of add to what Sister Ann so brilliantly stated in her reason for separation, and I do plan to be at that workshop in Commerce with Sister Mary and the team, just to let you know that. And it's what the brother has brought to the show today is so profound, because it really does not take much more than a well-made mind and the effort to produce what it is that we're going for. The problem is to add to what Sister Ann was saying is that, you know, there was something called the dumbing down of America. And when you dumb somebody down, you're actually extracting the intellectual capacity out of the individual. And so when you extract intellectual capacity, you reduce the individual's reasoning. And the thing that separates us from the animal is our ability to reason. So when we're looking around and we're seeing what's happened, I mean, the reasoning of us by way of being with our enemy has been reduced to such a degree that we were quick to talk one another out of a marriage, to separate from a marriage that could very well work, then we will talk one another to separate from an enemy who's shooting and killing and raping and robbing us every day.
Okay, so sister.
You know, we're quick to tell you to leave that black man because he lost his job. Then we will tell you to leave a man who is shipping jobs out of the country so that you won't even have one. He can't even provide for you. So with that, that's my reason, Sister Mary, to separate.
Give this
so
woman a podium,
reject.
Please.
Oh,
yes,
I didn't mean to come to you, but that's just the passion.
That's
because
we don't
even reason in our best behalf anymore,
that's
just by way of this long-term association.
I hate to interrupt, but we're down to our last minute and a half to the show.
Crazy.
We might want to give some information. We might want to give him some information how people can contact Brother Bradley. And closing remarks. We're down to the last minute.
Okay, praise be to Allah. First, thank you so much, Mr. Bradley. We are looking forward to the workshop. We want to, of course, say that his contact information is jby454@gmail.com. And Brother Mikael's information is IBRIBuilders on Facebook. And if you need to get in contact with Sister Mary or Sister Sharon, our Gmail account is sscomunity@gmail.com. We are sponsored by the National Organization for the Non-Advancement of
Children
and White.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, sister.
Are we finished?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Great show.
For a wonderful
great show.
Show. And thank you, listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, well, alaikum salam, and thank you all also.
Yes, sir. May Allah continue to bless us.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, looking forward to the 28th.
She went down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. Some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all that hurt me. Let me understand your plan. Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all that hurt me. Let me understand your plan.
Oh, won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your
were hung from. But that's